Raise your hand if that's the most time you've spent in silence so far this morning. How'd it feel? Any of you anxious or uncomfortable, hoping that I would get up here and say something sooner? So the thing is, we don't spend a whole lot of time in silence. And even now, for these last seconds, it's still not entirely silent because you can hear the air conditioning going. And trust me, if you're ever in this building alone, this building makes all kinds of noises. But then there's all the ways that we intentionally add noise to our lives. I mean, how many of you have either heard or have been guilty of turning on the TV just to have background noise while you do whatever? Or you turn on music, or now we have Alexas that talk to us and play music and do what we want. Our smartphones that have music on them, so we can have music wherever we are. And it's not just the audio noises, it's visual noises too. I mean, I don't need sound on to scroll through Facebook on my phone or play Candy Crush or anything like that. And if we're going to be honest, when you go to lunch and you meet somebody, if you get there first and the hostess seats you and you're sitting at the table by yourself, what is it that you're going to do? You're going to pull out your phone, right? Because you're sitting there by yourself. And then if the person you're eating with gets up to go to the bathroom as soon as they leave, what do? You pull out your phone. And maybe you try to be cool about it, and when you think you see him coming, you put it back away as though you've been, like, sitting here, you know, basking in the moment. Because the fact of the matter is we don't like silence. We are always looking for distractions. We find ourselves alone or in quiet. And it's interesting because there's more and more evidence and research to show that too much noise is actually bad for our health. There's been research done, particularly in intensive care units, about noise levels in ICUs. And what they found is that too much noise can increase blood pressure and heart rate. And this is true in general, but certainly in hospitals and in situations where people already have weakened immune systems. It's why so many ICUs have rules about how many visitors can be in a room at any given time and how long they can stay, because they're trying to help keep a quiet environment for the sake of the patients. Something interesting I learned this week is that there are, you know, audio recorders who, whether for movies or TV shows or music or whatever, will go out in the middle of nowhere in the mountains or the woods or wherever where there's no civilization around to record the noise so that they can have the pristine sounds of nature with no cars or jets or humans or anything else like that in it to use for whatever it is they might need. And in 1968, I've seen a couple different stats, but they agree that it took somewhere between 3 and 15 hours of recording to get 1 hour of pristine, uninterrupted silence, or just the sounds of nature, no artificial or man-made sounds. It took 3 to 15 hours in 1968. Now, it takes over 2,000 hours of recording in the middle of nowhere to get 1 hour of uninterrupted, no man-made noises. Sure, there's this point of, noise is everywhere. And if it's everywhere, is there really even anything that we can do about it? It might even lead you to ask, does it really matter all that much? Now, you can assume that since I'm posing this question, my answer is yes, it does matter. And so, to prove my point, or make my point, we're going to return to 1 Kings and to Elijah, who we've been talking about for the last few weeks. But before we read our text for today, I want to give you a brief recap of what we've been talking about to help set the stage if you've missed a couple Sundays. So, King Ahab is the king of Israel, and King Ahab is, like, actually the worst king ever in the history of Israel. It says this in scripture. They talk about how evil of a king he was. And to make matters worse, he is married to Queen Jezebel, who is, like, the worst. And so she's even worse than King Ahab. And Queen Jezebel worships the god Baal. And so because Ahab married her, he starts to worship Baal. And then because he's king and people follow him, all of Israel starts to worship Baal instead of the Lord our God. And so Jezebel, she starts executing people, prophets of the Lord, and killing those who follow the Lord. And so it's a time where it's kind of scary to continue to follow the God of Israel. And so enter Elijah. And obviously, Ahab and Jezebel are not fans of Elijah. In our scripture for last week, Elijah challenges all the prophets of Baal. There's this showdown between them, and there are 450 prophets of Baal and one Elijah. And Elijah tells them that they're both going to prepare the altar and put a sacrifice on the altar, but neither can light fire to the altar, and that the prophets of Baal are to pray to their God, and Elijah's going to pray to the Lord, and whichever God brings fire down upon the altar and burns the sacrifice, that will be the sign that that is the true God. Well, even if you weren't here last week, I mean, you're Christians. We believe our God is the only true God, so you know how this story is obviously going to end. The prophets of Baal, the altar doesn't light fire, and God sends fire upon Elijah's sacrifice. And God, with the help of Elijah, humiliates all of the prophets of Baal, and the prophets of Baal are then killed. So that's what happened last week. And so then, as soon as we pick up from there, Jezebel has heard about what's happened. She wasn't there, she hears about it, and she is furious. And so she sets out to kill Elijah. She sends out a memo that she is going to find him and kill him. And so we have Elijah, who has stood up to King Ahab, who just had this epic showdown with 450 prophets where God sent this incredible sign of God's presence and faithfulness with us and with Elijah for sure. But when he hears Jezebel's threat to kill him, he goes and he flees. He runs into the wilderness and he prays that he might die. Now, if you're me, you might be wondering, so what happened here, Elijah? I mean, like, what transpired here? Because you were pretty bold and confident here with all prophets of Baal. And so now, because Jezebel's threatening to kill you, now you're going to run? Among other things, we can conclude that Jezebel must be a really scary lady if she has this power over him. But this is not God's plan for Elijah. The plan is not for him to hide out in the wilderness forever. And so God provides for Elijah yet again. And an angel comes and feeds him in the wilderness. And Elijah spends 40 days wandering the wilderness until finally he arrives at Mount Horeb, which is also sometimes referred to as Mount Sinai. This is where Moses received the Ten Commandments. So this is a significant place where God has already acted in incredible ways. And Elijah arrives at Mount Horeb, and he finds a cave, and he goes into the cave to stay, and this is where our scripture will pick up in 1 Kings chapter 19. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. They are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. The Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go and return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abeloma, of prophet, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elijah shall kill." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So in the last 2 weeks, we've talked about Elijah. He has been incredibly faithful and bold. But this week, he's kind of whiny and afraid. I mean, first he flees from Jezebel, and then he's wandering around the wilderness. And so finally God asks, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he responds in verse 10, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. This makes sense. Maybe we can relate to Elijah. We've all been there, been like, God, I thought I was doing what you wanted. Like, this isn't going how I thought it was going to. Now I'm all alone. God, help me. But God doesn't directly answer Elijah. He doesn't reprimand Elijah or lecture him as I might have been inclined to do. But instead, God says, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And so first, there is a great wind, and the wind is so strong, it splits mountains, and rocks start to shatter. But the Lord is not in the wind. And then there's an earthquake, and you're thinking, surely this is it. But the Lord is not in the earthquake. And then there's a fire, which has been one of the more recent vessels God has used to display God's power. But the Lord is not in the fire. And then, sheer silence. Elijah heard the silence and he knew. And he wraps his face because you can't get that close to the Lord our God without some covering. And the Lord was in the silence. Now, this creates a couple problems for us. The first is that I've already talked about, we have a noise problem. And this is broadly true in a wide array of capacities because there's noise everywhere. And some of it's noise that's in our control, but some of it's noise that's out of our control. So that's our first problem. And our second problem, which maybe isn't a problem for all of you, but it's definitely a problem for me, is that I'm not very good at silence. I know this is really shocking to you to hear this, that I'm not very good at silence. But I'm not, and I suspect some of you aren't either. And even when I'm genuinely trying, you know, there's no music, there's no TV, I put my phone in a drawer, go to a relatively quiet place, you know, close my eyes so I don't have all the visual noise, my brain isn't silent. And pretty quickly I find myself, you know, making a grocery list or going through my to-do list or maybe something a little bit more okay as I'm thinking about prayer concerns or other things. And sometimes I catch myself in a daydream and even wonder, how long have I been doing this? Like, oh my gosh. And so I have to sit there and think, Laura Allen, clear your mind. Clear your mind. You're here to listen. You're here to focus. And I'll say, listen, Laura Allen, listen. You want to hear from God. Speak, God, I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening. And it's really hard. And usually it takes me a pretty long time to quiet my head. And sometimes I don't succeed at all because I've only set aside so much time in the first place and that time ends or has passed or I get frustrated with this lack of silence in my own head and so I just call it quits. And then this creates a bad pattern because I tell myself that I'm bad at silence and so I avoid spending time in silence. And then when I do, I fall into the same pattern again of stop thinking, listen, listen, listen. And yet it's also true that I pretty regularly wish or even lament that God's voice isn't more clear in my life. But I'm just not really certain what exactly it is that God wants me to do. And I kind of wonder, like, what am I expecting? Like, God's going to send a Facebook message, like, here's what I need from you, that I can read and reread and think about. That instead, in this, you know, 15-ish minutes I spend every day in quiet time, I mean, that really limits my opportunities to hear God speaking. That's some of the only time that I take. And so, something I want you all to, my challenge for the week, for me too, is this week, because we are limiting our time to listen, is to all spend 5 minutes in silence. Now, I mean, that's going to be hard. You know, you can set the timer on your phone and then put your phone in a drawer, and in 5 minutes it'll go off. And then if you're done with silence or, you know, it's been a struggle over 5 minutes, it's over, and maybe you turn off your alarm and stay. But try to spend every day 5 minutes in silence. Because it's important. In Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." In the Gospels, time and time again, we hear about how Jesus goes off in the quiet to be by himself to pray. It's always like little addendums and passages. You know, he feeds the 5,000, and the next verse is, "And after the crowds left, the disciples got in a boat, and Jesus went off on his own to pray." But I mean, after all these things, Jesus went off to a quiet place to pray. We see it over and over again in Scripture, the importance of stillness and silence. We see it in 1 Kings, when God meets Elijah in the sheer silence. And Elijah knows it's God. And so the Lord asks Elijah again, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" But if you were paying attention, what was really perplexing to me is that Elijah gives the exact same answer as before. He gives his same whiny answer about, "Well, I've done all this, I've done what you said, and still I'm alone, I'm by myself, help me." And I'm kind of like, are you kidding me, Elijah? Because in Scripture, God doesn't pass by very often. This happens to Moses, and it happens to Elijah. So this is a pretty short list, okay? So the Lord has passed by Elijah. And his immediate response is to go back to his "woe is me" speech. But again, God doesn't lecture Elijah. There's no reprimand. But this time, God does give instructions. God tells Elijah, "Go and anoint this person and this person as kings over Israel. And go anoint Elijah as the next prophet. And don't worry about Ahab or Jezebel, because I'm going to take care of that. They're not going to be a problem for you. But here are the things you need to do." And Elijah goes and he does them. He follows God's instructions. Which got me to wondering, had God been trying to convey these instructions to Elijah earlier, but Elijah just wasn't listening or couldn't hear them? Is it possible that Elijah's fears and anxieties, his personal problems, even just the sights of all the things as he wandered the wilderness, if all the distractions of his life kept him from hearing what God was trying to say, if it prevented him from listening? And that it was only after the sheer silence that Elijah was able to listen and to hear the way God was speaking to him. Which has led to me asking myself a lot this week, what is it that God has been trying to tell me? What is it that God is trying to say to me, and yet I've been too distracted to listen? What might God be trying to say to you? Let us pray. Almighty God, we confess that the noises and distractions of our lives, that far too often they keep us from hearing from you. God, forgive us for all the times and ways that we have invited those distractions instead of listening for your voice. God, open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds. Help us to grow as listeners and hearers of your word, God, so that we can more fully and faithfully do your work in the world. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.